This podcast is for informational purposes only. Information relating to investment approaches or individual investments should not be construed as advice or endorsement. Listeners should seek professional advice for their situation.
Have you ever heard the phrase to peel back the layers of the onion? The term originates in psychotherapy and is used as a metaphor for what takes place during the process of self-discovery. It requires a deeper look, layer by layer, to get to a greater understanding of something or someone. It is also a tool my team and I adopt when analyzing market data. In other words, if we only look on the surface, we can miss the bigger picture, which often happens with economic and market data. When the U.S. Consumer Price Index results were released for the month of September, they were met by equity investors with initial disappointment as the headline and core prints came in higher than expected. The market reaction was quick and severe with an almost immediate 2% drop on the S&P 500 at the open. However, once investors, and us included, dug into the numbers a little bit deeper, we quickly saw a major turnaround with the markets closing much higher in one of the better days of the year. So what prompted this bounce? Well, let's peel back the layers of inflation to find out. I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist for IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as I discuss our views on the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of October 17th, so listen on as we navigate the living market. As we've said before, economic data tends to be backward-looking, with the equity markets being much more forward-looking. We know that some components to inflation are sticky, taking time to accelerate or decelerate. And one of the worst culprits of these is rent. Housing-related costs, or from inflation, technically known as owner's equivalent rent, accounts for about a third of the US CPI basket of goods used to calculate inflation. Housing costs, from an inflation perspective, are more than just the price of the house going up and down. Affordability includes the impact from changes in mortgage rates. So even if the housing prices are going down as they are currently, affordability is not. That is because the increase in interest rates has a much more direct and immediate effect on housing costs than the value of the property itself. Think of it this way. Interest on a home valued at $500,000 at 2% is $10,000. If that home is valued at $400,000, at 4% is $16,000. Over the short term, as interest rates have risen, so too has rent inflation. And one might argue against the logic of the Fed raising rates to fight inflation if by doing so it is actually contributing to the worst part of the inflation numbers. But here's the other thing that we know about rent inflation. It tends to follow housing prices, but with a lag of 14 months. So while the drop in house prices isn't having an immediate impact on rent inflation, we will start to see it show up near the middle of 2023, right around the time that we expect the Fed to pause and mortgage rates to stabilize. In other words, the contribution from rent inflation should fall meaningfully within the next year. We would also argue that those inflation components linked with transportation are much more inversely sensitive to interest rates as well. As consumers are paying more for gas and food, their discretionary spending falls. We expect the higher recent inflation from airfares, rental cars, and travel in general to ease in the coming year as post-COVID demand starts to fall. A more immediate sign of falling inflation from the effects of lower demand perhaps is with cargo shipping costs. Now, since March, shipping container costs from China to the United States have dropped by as much as 60%. We believe this will provide some relief and flow through to the final prices of goods. In fact, we've seen the apparel category down 0.3% on a month-over-month basis in September, which may be in part due to falling shipping costs. The other component that we're looking at is the major shortages of computer chips that is starting to abate. Now, computer chips are used in everything from cars to appliances, and the shortage that we saw in 2021 led to some inflation. Interestingly, as the value of various crypto coins fell from their lofty highs, the demand for specific chips went down along with it. This perhaps indicates that computing demands to mine these coins was becoming too expensive. We know much of the supply chain problems were related to such chips. For example, my new fridge that has been on order for over 6 months is still missing in action, largely because the manufacturer couldn't get the computer chips necessary to program a fridge. As that supply chain eases, we believe overall inflation will ease as well. Lastly, we believe the largest driver of inflation came from the massive money supply increase in 2020 and 2021. M2 growth, which is the measure of money supply, has fallen back to normalized levels in the United States and Canada. Inflation tends to follow M2 growth with a lag of about a year. So as M2 growth was running higher in 2022, inflation followed. It should start to fall in the coming months as M2 growth has eased. This is further evidence to support the view that inflation in 2023 will be much lower than in 2022. The signs are already there. You just have to look for them. Overall, when we model out inflation for the next year, we see a general moderation from 2022 levels. We doubt we will see an immediate return to the US Federal Reserve's target of 2%, similar to the Bank of Canada, but we do expect a gradual decline nonetheless. The sharp reversal in equities we saw last week may be the market peeling back the layers of inflation and pricing in the same conclusion. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.